in St. Louis. I was here at Trinity Church 10 years ago in the fall of 2006 for a classes meeting. I was not able to come to worship with you that weekend because we headed back to Pella on Saturday afternoon, but I am thrilled to be in St. Louis, and I am excited to be at Trinity Church. Last fall, I've been a pastor in the church that I'm at in Pella for 10 years, and last fall I made a request to our church council for a sabbatical later this summer. I had an opportunity presented to me from World Missions to go to Africa and to teach in a seminary there, and so I immediately emailed Pastor Gill and some of the elders here that I knew from classes for a testimony about international teaching and Gill's experience in Russia and why it's been good for Gill and why it's been good for the missionary perspective of Trinity Church. And I got wonderful feedback. I wrote my proposal and attached the comments that I got from the elders and from Pastor Gill. And most council members said, well, that was all we needed. We're convinced. So thank you. We started a blog. You can read about it on our blog. I got the address. You can ask me after the service. But it's a joy to be here before I leave for that, to bring you God's word this morning. The scripture reading is Psalm 23. I don't know if it'll be on the screen. If it's not on the screen, it's on page 544 in this Bible. I don't know if it's the same as yours or not. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's probably one of the most familiar words of the Lord, especially in our North American culture, Psalm 23. I would hazard to guess that Psalm 23 has been written on more plaques and funeral folders than any other piece of poetry or passage of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. A lot of us are drawn to the pastoral images with which the psalm begins, those idyllic pictures of green pastures, quiet waters, that God refreshes our soul, that He makes us lie down. In the Bible, to lie down is often a picture of peace and tranquility. That promise of Isaiah the prophet that the wolf and the lamb would lie down together, the leopard and the goat, that they will not harm or destroy at all on my holy mountain. But Psalm 23, if you read it in its entirety, is not all sunshine and roses. It opens with the gentle pastoral scene, but we soon find that there are dangers all around. The psalmist needs protection, a rod, and a staff. He speaks of evil. He walks through the darkest valley. The translation we read follows the King James, using poetic language, maybe less accurate, but certainly more poetic. The valley of the shadow of death. Maybe that's what draws us to Psalm 23 in the times of trouble, when we face difficulty and danger, when we confront evil, when we endure the reality of death. Now, Tim Brown was a pastor, and he remembers vividly 25 years ago the day that Paul's plane went down. Paul was a 20-year-old member of the church that Tim pastored, and flying had become his obsession. He was logging hours to get a full pilot's license when he booked the twin-prop Cessna out of the Tulip City Airport near Holland, Michigan. He was supposed to fly up the coast of Lake Michigan and then come back to the airport around midnight. But midnight came and midnight went, and Paul's plane wasn't there. And his parents started to get a little aggravated, and by 1 o'clock in the morning, they were kind of angry. Paul, why are you doing this to us? Come back. Where are you? Nobody sleeps soundly when their child's not yet home. By 2 o'clock, they phoned their family and friends. At 4, Tim's phone rang. He was the pastor. Paul's plane isn't back yet. Tim says, I threw on a pair of blue jeans and I rushed off to the airport, and there was family and friends gathering around, and I remember the slowness with which the clock moved as worry spread like an infection among us. It was just before noon when the FAA officials pulled into the parking lot. And even 25 years later, I can still see Dave and Rhonda, Paul's parents, sprinting into the parking lot, and Rhonda collapse. They found Paul's plane 20 feet deep in the lake off the Ludington coast. Dave and Rhonda came back in, and hearts broke open and emotions exploded, and Dave pounded his fist against the wall and he grabbed Tim's arm and he said, Pastor, you need to pray for us. What do you say? It was as we gathered together in the circle. I was under one of Dave's arms and a friend on the other side, Rhonda, across the circle. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I couldn't go on. I just started to sob. And an amazing thing happened. Dave picked up the words. He leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters? Not 12 hours earlier, the angry waves of Lake Michigan had swallowed his son's life. Dave began to sob. And then across the circle, Rhonda said it. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the weight of grief was too heavy, and she fell down. A table. 1,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Backyard picnics. The wedding feast that they would never attend for their son. The whole group in unison, with one voice, carried on the ancient words, You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the face of this immediate, overwhelming pain, they joined the ancient, never-ending chorus, uttering words of trust that have been trusted through centuries. They may have said these ancient words before, maybe mechanically, not even thinking about what they meant, but here in their time of desperate need, the valley of the shadow of death, when everything else was falling apart, they turned to Psalm 23. and like the steel girders holding a bridge in the midst of a hurricane. These words held them fast and assured them that even in the darkest valley, fear does not have the last word. At that moment when their emotions were spinning in chaos, the familiar, trusting words held them together. The Lord is my shepherd. The people who study the book of Psalms categorize Psalm 23 as a song of trust, because it begins with that confident declaration of trust in God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. But the rhetoric of trust in Scripture, that kind of confession always comes out of a place of deep pain. The words assume that the psalmist has passed through, or is maybe even now passing through, this time of crisis, this valley, the shadow of death. In fact, it's the darkness that generates the confession of trust. When the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, when the waters around me roar and foam, when it feels like the very earth is giving way beneath my feet, I make bold to declare another truth. God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, I confess that God is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? In the face of danger and difficulty and darkness and death, in the presence of enemies, as he descends into that darkest valley, the psalmist strengthens himself with the assurance, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." The psalmist never says we're not going to face evil. We do. The psalmist says that even in the face of evil, even in the face of the greatest of evils, even in the darkest of valleys, we need not fear that evil, because God is with us. The tradition says Psalm 23 was written by Israel's shepherd King David. The Bible says that God chose David and took him from tending the sheep to make him a shepherd of his people. That's actually where David literally was the day that Samuel came and looked for a son of Jesse to anoint his king. He goes through all the other sons of Jesse and wonders, is there another one? And he's told, well, yeah, the youngest, he's out tending the sheep. And so David knew about shepherds. He'd been a shepherd himself. And he knew what the rod and the staff were. I wonder what image was going on in his mind, what story he remembered when he talked of God's rod and staff as a comfort in the face of great evil, the darkest of valleys. Maybe that famous story that he told to Saul, the king. David had gone out and saw that the Israelites were greatly feared of this Philistine champion, 9-foot-tall Goliath. He said, well, I'll go and fight him. He's not so big. Saul, you're just a boy. He's this great champion. David said, well, your servant has been keeping his father's flock. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep, I went after it. I struck it and rescued it from the mouth of the lion. It turned on me. I seized it and struck it and killed it. The God who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when a lion or a bear comes to attack, I believe that God will go after it and strike it down and snatch me back from its mouth. I may be scared and scarred, but in the end, I will be safe. I will fear no evil. I will face it, but I will not fear it. Because I know, as Paul said so eloquently in the New Testament, that nothing can separate me from God or from God's love. I am convinced that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't, the fears we have for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell are strong enough to keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or down in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, because God is with me. Those words, "you are with me," literally stand at the very center of the song in Psalm 23. If you count the words that were written in Hebrew, there are 26 words right before it and 26 words right after it. And smack dab in the center, the psalmist says, "You are with me." And there's a decisive shift in the language, isn't there? The first part of the psalm is all in the third person. "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me." But here, it's more intimate and direct. "You are with me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil." The shepherd is with us in the darkest valley, that we need not fear evil. Because of that central promise, "You are with me." There was a professor at Calvin Seminary in Grand Rapids, Dwayne Kelderman, and he wrote an article 10 or 15 years ago pondering that promise that God makes. "You are with me, even in the darkest place." He remembers going into a Christian bookstore, and he found one of those books that just kind of bugged him. It was called the Bible Promise Book. Maybe you've seen one. It pulls out every verse of Scripture that's supposed to have a promise for the people of God. And he said, "You know what? It's hard to be against a book that's just basically Bible verses, because it's the Bible, right?" He said, "But the problem when I read a Bible promise book is that I don't really see how it works out in the actual lives of real people." He'd been a pastor, and he said, "When I look out at the lives of the people that I've pastored, I am struck so often by the things that God does not promise. God does not promise that our children will never break our hearts. God does not promise that a loved one won't die prematurely. God does not promise that we will not be deserted by a spouse, that a loved one will not end up in a wheelchair or jail for life. God doesn't promise that we won't lose our jobs or experience flood or drought." In all the things that you could list from the Bible, comes right down to it, God doesn't seem to promise very much. In fact, he concluded that there's really one promise. I will be with you. And he remembers sitting around a living room, the inner city of Grand Rapids, with a coffee break women's Bible study, and he shared the suggestion. Of all the things in the Bible, it really comes down to one promise from God. I will be with you. He was sitting next to a woman whose daughter had been brutally murdered. Across the circle was a woman whose grandson was in jail. Beside her, someone whose husband had left her destitute. On the other side, a woman dying of pancreatic cancer. And they all said, it's true. God didn't promise that my husband wouldn't leave me, that my child wouldn't end up in prison, or my body succumb to cancer. They all agreed God doesn't promise much, but that he does promise to be with us. They gave testimony to its truth in their own lives, and they all agreed that that promise was somehow enough. A few days later, it says there was a knock on my office door and a woman from the Bible study came in. She had 10 pieces of paper. She had gone home and got a concordance and wrote down every verse she could find where God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. 10 sheets. The promise repeated again and again and again in Scripture. He said, what was most impressive is not the amount of times you find those words. It's the places, the stories, the people's lives. Jacob had really ticked off his brother Esau. And Esau said, in a couple days, my dad will be dead, and then I'm going to get my revenge. And he had to flee for his life and leave everything he knew. And God shows up in a vision and says, I will be with you wherever you go. Moses, his knees were knocking. The thought of facing Pharaoh. And God said, I will be with you. The ancient Israelites were passing through the furnace of exile in its whelming flood. And God said, even when you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you because I am with you. You need not fear the evil that you face because it cannot separate you from me and from my love. We don't want to lose things. We don't want to lose our security or a loved one or a job. When we suffer loss, there is that assurance, though, that there is something that we can never lose. At the end of the day, when you look at all the things God does not promise, you might feel cheated. But there's still the great promise, I will be with you. And in the end, it is enough to know. Neither life nor death, neither present nor future, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. To know, I belong, body and soul and life and in death, to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is not just enough, it is everything. To know that no matter where we go, what valley we find ourselves in, what evil we face, He is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. And it's through the valley. Through the valley to the table prepared and the goodness and love of God. We might not always catch the connection, but the Israelites who first sang this song probably associated it with their own wilderness wandering journey. The plains of Moab, as Moses is preparing them to enter into the promised land, he describes the way that God carried them through the wilderness as the guidance of a shepherd. God has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness, he said. These 40 years God has been with you so that you lacked nothing. The Lord has been your shepherd so that you were never in want. And he brought you through the wilderness and the wandering and the valley here to Canaan's shore. He gave David the confidence to declare, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me." That's actually a really bad translation. "Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I belong, body and soul and life and in death, to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. The one who promised to be with me wherever I go. And who said that nothing will separate me from his love." Let us pray together. Guide us, great shepherd God. For we are pilgrims wandering through a barren land, and there are dangers all around. We face many dangers, toils, and snares. Hold us with your powerful hand, we pray, even when we journey through the darkest valley. Remind us of your presence and protect us by your rod and your staff. O God, land us safe on Canaan's shore, that we might take our place at the table you have prepared and dwell in your house forever. Amen.